Big thanks to Sam. You're an awesome guy, so we appreciate you. All right. So we've been talking through the Lord's Prayer, as you know, and I've been using an acronym, and so it's very simple. Pray, P-R-A-Y, and P stands for pause. Pause to appreciate your relationship with God, your Father. And it really is about slowing down. We're not very good at that, so we need to slow down, because if we're not slowing down, if our heart is racing, our mind is somewhere else, then we really can't hear from God. And so that's the first part, P for pause. And R stands for rejoice or revere, taking time to praise God and to thank Him and to give Him praise for everything. And we're usually bent on complaining, so this helps us to focus on who God is and what He's done. And then last Sunday, we talked about the A, which stands for ask. And this is a large category. I could have said a whole lot more, but this is about asking for our daily needs. And so God is our King. Jesus is our King, and He desires that we do His will, that the will of heaven descend down to earth in our lives. And today, our last letter, of course, is Y in pray. And Y stands for yield, yielding to God in prayer. And this goes together with the last two verses of the Lord's Prayer, verses 12 and 13, which is asking God to forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So in verse 12, we yield to God in prayer through the prayer of confession and forgiveness. And then in verse 13, we yield to God's power against evil and the evil one. And so I've decided to actually deal with these two verses separately. So today I'll focus on verse 12, and next week I'll talk about yielding to God and His power. And so the topic would really be about spiritual warfare. And so today I'll talk about yielding to God through confession, asking for forgiveness, and also what it means to extend forgiveness to other people who have hurt us. So as we seek God, our Father, in intimate prayer as children, because that is really the image of the Lord's Prayer, you're speaking to God as your Father. We are His children. And we must learn to come to God so very honestly and openly about our own spiritual health and our own emotional health. And God wants us to be completely transparent with Him, because God is in the business of transforming our lives so that we become godly people. Now, before we get into the particulars of yielding to God by confessing our sins, I want to set the stage by telling you the story in Luke 15. So Jesus tells the story of a father who is running. And in the culture of that day, a running father was really not something you saw every day. It was a very undignified movement. It's a little bit like coming to church in your pajamas. You just don't do that, right? It'd be rather embarrassing and undignified. And so the story is meant to shock us, especially when we discover why the father was running. This loving father saw his rebellious and wayward son way in the distance, and he's coming home towards him. This son brought great pain in the father's life, great disgrace upon his dad. And he even cursed his dad when he left by demanding that he get his share of the inheritance even before his dad passed away. And so that's basically wishing your dad was dead. It was that bad. But this father is running disgracefully towards his son. And so we know this as the prodigal son story, but you could also call it the story about the gracious running father. And when we understand why the father is running, we will better understand what Jesus meant when he asks us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We need this story, and we need this text, this prayer, because today topics like sin and forgiveness are either ignored or belittled. When a culture loses their sense of what is right and wrong, and the culture's view of life is basically, if it feels good, just do it, or I can do what I want, it's my body, this is my life, there really isn't anything to forgive. There's no category for sin. So if you're hurt by someone in our culture, it either teaches you to retreat and kind of pretend it didn't happen, or to seek revenge some way. And of course, either way is unhealthy. And as you can see, in this kind of world, if that's the way it's operated, there's really no need for God to forgive, because you have no sense of what is right and wrong, and there is no need to forgive other people. That would be just considered something for the weak and the needy. But in this parable, the Father, who represents God, our Father in heaven, comes running to his sinful son, and he's filled with compassion. I mean, that image needs to just burn into our minds. This running father, running disgracefully towards his sinful son. See, if sin were no big deal, then the father would not have come running. The need to be forgiven by God is a big deal. And the parable of the running father and his wayward son is like a parallel story to the Lord's Prayer. We pray to God as our compassionate Father in heaven, whose forgiveness is what all of us need. We desperately need it. So when you turn to the Gospels, story after story in the Gospels speaks of Jesus saying to people, "Your sins are forgiven." And it stunned people. Absolutely stunned people. And then he hangs out with the worst sinners of the day, and he extends forgiveness to them and the kingdom of God to them. Now, earlier in the Lord's Prayer, we prayed, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus radically announced that in his coming, God's kingdom has arrived. You know, when people thought about the kingdom back in those days, they were probably more thinking of a political kingdom or a military kingdom, or at least a kingdom that can be claimed through power and might, through military might, or a movement to eradicate your enemies, right? Because they thought that was the problem. But when Jesus came into town, he was offering a whole new exodus, a whole new freedom to sinners, represented by this wayward son in the story. You see, the heart of this new kingdom was much deeper than politics or therapy or material happiness. The heart of the kingdom that we pray on earth was a king and a compassionate father who has come to forgive us our sins by giving up his own son. That lay at the heart of this new kingdom. And so when the kingdom of God arrived on earth, forgiveness of sins was happening through Jesus. If it were not for the forgiveness of Jesus, there would be no true freedom for anyone, for all of mankind. And it went way beyond our own personal forgiveness. But somehow God would use that forgiveness that we would receive and to extend that forgiveness to others who have hurt us. And so Jesus is bringing in a whole kingdom, a whole new society of people who are forgiven, released, and they in turn extend that love, that compassion, and that forgiveness to other people. Having received God's forgiveness, these kingdom followers are transformed by that same forgiveness, by extending it to those who have hurt them. If one refused to forgive others as Jesus forgave them, then that person really doesn't know or understand the depth of that forgiveness for them. Jesus' forgiveness is received by faith, where the Spirit of God comes into our life, transforms our mind and our heart to become forgiving people. Our desire should be to forgive as Jesus forgives. So when the wayward son reaches the father, and the father runs toward him, he's recited his confession. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Or as the Lord's Prayer says, Father, forgive us our debts. And together we pray with all of God's people who are like this wayward son. We're him. Sometimes stuck in our selfish ways. We come to the end of it all. We become open with God, and we admit our absolute brokenness and our need to be forgiven. We admit our wrong. We hide no more. But in the next scene of the story, there is this Father in heaven running to us so lovingly, disgracefully, but he does not care. Opens his arm to us who are broken, lost and disheveled. And that father embraces us and says, children, you're forgiven. And his compassion and love pours out, his forgiveness just pours out upon us. And he calls us his own daughters, sons of God. And so we need to hear this story over and over again to understand the seriousness of sin, first of all, and our need to be forgiven, but also never to lose sight of God's deep desire to restore us and to free us and to love us and to bring us a whole new freedom through the gift of forgiveness. It's that important. You know, this story challenges any idea that confessing our sins is some kind of gloomy and morbid experience. The psalm that Vanessa read, Psalm 51, is a very famous psalm by King David. And at the back end of what she read, it talks about the restoration of joy through confession. It doesn't sound morbid at all. It doesn't mean it's not difficult. It's difficult because we're proud people. But the whole gift of confession is meant to restore one's joy, one's relationship to God. Many people imagine a stern and angry God who wants to just keep on making you feel bad. We wrongly think we have to earn our way back to God through certain things before we're in his good books, before he forgives us. But that's not true. We simply pray the prayer, Lord, I have sinned against you. Forgive me my sins. Confess it honestly before God. And we reactivate God's complete and compassionate forgiveness through Jesus Christ. You know, a few days ago, there was an article in the paper, and it was published by many newspapers. And it's about a Chinese couple who was reunited with their son after 32 years. Can you imagine not being with your son for 32 years? Basically, what happened is they lost him when he was just a toddler. And someone scooped him up and he was taken away from him. He was kidnapped as a toddler. And of course, they didn't know this, but he was kidnapped and sold to a family that did not have any children. Such a sad, sad story. And of course, his parents had no idea what happened. For 32 years, they handed out 100,000 flyers and did numerous things to try to find their son. But finally, they found him. And so on the news article, there is a picture of the mother and together with her adult son. And she's holding her son's face in her hands. And she's just weeping like crazy. But they're, of course, weeping with great joy. This reminds me of the image of the father embracing his son, and who kisses him, and who embraces him, his long-lost son. Why? Because God longs to restore his children. He longs to find them so that they find that fellowship with God. He longs to bring to his children his forgiveness so that they find freedom in Jesus Christ. And the extent of what God did was to send his own son to die for us so that we could be free because of that sin issue. And so the Lord's Prayer is this wonderful invitation. Forgive us our debts so we find freedom. And so in the very last verse of the parable that I've been telling you about in Luke chapter 15, it says, "We were lost, but now found." Indeed, we are found through Jesus Christ in his forgiveness. Now, there's a few questions that people ask about this part of the Lord's Prayer. And so they are very common, and they're good and honest questions, and so I want to answer them. And some people ask this: why do we need to ask for forgiveness if God, through Jesus' work on the cross, has already forgiven my sins, past, present, and future, right? So why do we have to confess our sins if Jesus has already forgiven us, basically, right? So some people would argue and say, confessing our sins is no longer necessary because God has already forgiven us when he died on the cross. They say if we keep confessing our sins, we load up burdens on ourselves and we fail to live in freedom and forgiveness. That's kind of the basic flow of what some people say. But is that really true? When we confess our sins before God and put our faith and trust in the saving work of Jesus, he indeed wipes our sins away. Okay, so that's the first point. Colossians 2:13-14 says this: when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. There it is. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. So those verses sound very, very certain that forgiveness in Jesus is complete. It is very clear. And so when you first surrendered your life to Jesus, that forgiveness of your sins is so, so complete. Understand that is true. In fact, not only did he forgive us our sins, he gave us his Holy presence by the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we live as people with a brand new identity. We're the Spirit of God people. We're in Christ people. We're children of God people. And we have been given every spiritual blessing in Christ, Paul says in the first chapter of Ephesians chapter 1. But on the other hand, 1 John 1:8-9 says this: if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now here in 1 John, who is John writing to? He is writing to children of God already. He's not addressing non-believers. He's talking to Christians. They have already put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so what gives? John is saying Christians still sin. Can I confess something to you? I still sin. We still all sin. Now I know that I am a child of God and that Jesus has forgiven my sins and he has given to me eternal life. I never doubt that for a second. not a second. I am changed through Jesus Christ. I am in Christ and I'm secure in him. But what John is talking about in 1 John is simply the reality of ongoing sin in our lives and helping us to root it out from our lives. And so he's teaching us to live in this ongoing freedom that God has given to us. And so confession is all a part of the process of spiritual change and growth. Because if we deny that we sin, then we're not very self-aware people, right? If we deny that we sin, then we deceive ourselves, it says. And our faith is a little bit blind and shallow, and we're probably a little bit proud. We are still sinners. And so this is why Paul puts it in Colossians 3, verse 5. He says this, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire." So once again, just like 1 John, who is Paul talking to? He's talking to Christians. But he does not at all ignore the reality of eradicating sin from our life. And so when we confess our sins, we are letting the light of Jesus expose issues in our life. And it's always a process of God wanting us to become more like him. And so confession and repentance are really bold steps to go to war against sin in our life. How many of us can say we have totally eradicated pride in our life? Or that we have reached the highest level of humility and love in serving and giving? Right? So it's not only the sins of commission, but omission, what we're not doing. How many of us can say we are so completely unselfish, I always think about the other person and my spouse before myself? Not so great sometimes, right? Another question that people ask is, must we forgive others before God will forgive us? Okay? Must we forgive others before God will forgive us? Because to some people, this is what the Lord's Prayer seems to imply to them. Forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors, those who sin against us. Okay, that's another good question. The point of Jesus's prayer is not that forgiving others must come before being forgiven, okay? This is not about timing. The point is that forgiveness should not be viewed as a one-way process, okay? So we must understand that all of God's gifts to us, including his forgiveness of sins, always brings responsibility. Otherwise, we would simply be two-faced hypocrites who receive forgiveness from Jesus, but don't forgive other people. That's hypocrisy, right? So I encourage you to read the parable of the unforgiving servant once again. This is found in Matthew chapter 18, 23. 3 to 35, and I mean that's a whole message in itself. But basically the story is the master forgave the enormous unpayable debt of his servant. But the servant turns around. Of course he's overjoyed because he's forgiven the huge debt, but he goes back to his own residence and he confronts his own servant and fails to forgive that servant this small little debt, right? And so that's That's what Jesus is talking about. When we live the Christian life, it's about no hypocrisy. The Lord's Prayer, to ask for forgiveness and to forgive the debt of others, is about integrity. Because if we stubbornly refuse to forgive others who have hurt us, it will hinder your walk with God, right? You will not live in freedom. And the very reason why Jesus came to forgive you is so that you would walk in freedom. And so we can't separate being forgiven and forgiving others. It needs to flow from being forgiven by God, flow into forgiving other people. And so Jesus doesn't separate our relationship with him from our relationship with others. If we love God, another way of putting it, then the extension of that love is to love other people. If we forgive, are forgiven by God, then we forgive. Let me put it negatively. If we hate people, then we are really hating God. So the Christian life is not a one-way street. And so this prayer, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, is something that I want to encourage you to just insert into your quiet time and make it a regular habit, and helping you become more sensitive to areas in your life that Jesus wants to clean up. It's not scary. It's difficult. But remember that running Father who so desires us to be free. He wants you to be free. And so, you know, say something like this. Father in heaven, forgive my sins and help me to forgive anyone who has hurt me or offended me. Sometimes it takes time to understand what God needs to talk to you about. We're too distracted sometimes. Our lives are busy and we're not seeing. We're blind to issues in our life. And so this is why we need this prayer, to take time and pause, to rejoice, to ask. And then in this yield part, taking time, and as you read the Bible, it might open something up where God tells you, hey, Dan, this is maybe an area in your life that you might want to bring to me, that you might need to confess, okay? And so that's what happens in prayer, is that God gives you new eyes to see something that you haven't seen before and confess it to him. Repent to him. God wants you to have spiritual freedom and victory in your life with him and all of your relationships. And so think of confession of your sins and also forgiving those who have hurt you is really God's pathway to joy and fellowship and restoration. All right, that's it for today. And so let me just close in prayer, and then we'll have a song, and then we'll go into breakout groups. Lord, thank you for the gift of prayer, and more specifically, the gift of confession, and how you have given to us this gift so that we might know freedom in Jesus Christ and become more mature, becoming more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.